making fun as they went, but this guy thought, well, maybe I'll take one. He's like to be different anyway a little bit. And he said, but when he was getting one, he said, sir, why are you giving these things out? And he said, well, they can help people. And he explained a little bit about the Gideons passing them out. And so he took one and he took off, and he was a little older than our today's society, right? Because he hitchhiked out to California to go surfing, and people don't do things like that much anymore. But he hiked across, and he'd end up with dead times, and there he would read from his little New Testament. And but he didn't pay too much attention yet then. And he ended up meeting up with some other guys. They went down into Mexico. They were surfing there. All of a sudden, one of his buddies comes and says, hey, there's sharks feeding around here. And he's like, oh, no. And he was a ways out. He thought, I'm not going to make it. And if I get bit out here, we're so far from everything, I'm going to die. I'm not ready to die. And somehow he thought, uh-oh, I better pay a little more attention to what I was reading there. And he made it up okay, but as they were traveling, they hopped a bus to come back up that night, and the bus got stopped. And there was a bunch of armed guys, and they said to him, they said, get off. And as he steps down the little stairs out of the bus, there's guns all pointed right at him, and he's like, oh my. And they're searching his stuff, and they look, and they find this little Bible in his pack. And they say, what's this? I said, well, that's my Bible. He said, okay, you can get back on. And gave him back. And he thought, whoa. He thought they were going to kill him, but when they saw the Bible, they thought, well, it must be okay. So he gets back on, and he thought, I need this thing bad. And he spent a little time with it that night, and he didn't know what to say, but he just said, Lord, he says, I'm sorry. He said, would you save me? And when he got up his knees, he knew he was a changed man. And he started wanting to live for God and lead others. He had a girlfriend that he shared the Lord with, and she trusted the Lord as her Savior. Now they've been married for 47 years and living for God for many of those, in fact, for all of those and serving in the church ministries. On a more local level with Gideon Things, right? Of course, I'm in the jails Wednesday nights. I'm always locked up those nights, and that's just the way it is. And if I tell people that, sometimes they wonder at first, but you know, I'm doing a Bible study in there with the guys. And recently, we've had two exciting things happen. A lot of times when you're sharing with the jail Things, right? People sometimes will kind of make a profession, or sometimes they'll sit there and nod with you and kind of agree, but you don't really know where they're at. But in the last roughly 3 to 4 months, there's been two that were a little different than normal and seem to be show real promise. One of them ended up in there. He says, listen, I've been really bad. He says, I need somehow to find forgiveness and find the Lord however I need. He says, I need something because I know I'm guilty. He'd been drinking and causing trouble and even stuff he would normally have never wanted to do, but because he was drinking, it messed him up. And he came, and I'm sharing, going through a Bible lesson with him and sharing the gospel and sharing about how Jesus shed his blood and died and took our penalty, and how if we'll trust him, we can be forgiven, how he rose again. And he's sitting there as I'm going through the gospel and talking about trusting the Lord. And he's like, whoa. He said, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it was like his lights all went on, and he said, and he starts talking like he's been is a believer, like no questions. And it's like, now I know often when people accept the Lord as their Savior, right, they pray and go through something and something is real clear. Well, this guy, of course, the Bible emphasis, as you read through it, it always emphasizes the word believe. And not just knowing the head facts, but believe, like you're putting your trust in, like, yeah, this is mine, this is real. Well, that's what seemed to happen with that man. The next time I come back, he's like read through half his Bible almost, and he's like, what do I do about this, and how do I take care of this in my life, and I see this is not right that I was doing, and okay. And it's he has like all the fruit, and he did exactly what the Bible says you must do, right? When the guy, Philippian jailer asked, he said to Paul, he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul gave him the complete answer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that guy believed, and his life changed, and now he's in a ministry training thing, and his went away to that. Another one, when he came and the Bible study group, and there was a group there, and the guy says, I want you to baptize me. Wait a minute. Well, he says, yeah, I want you to, I think I've got some problems and my life has to go some other direction. Is that how you get your life changed? I said, well, let's look at a lesson with this, right? And so we went over to Acts chapter 8, where the story is with the Ethiopian who's riding along and reading in his Bible, and Philip, one of the disciples, goes to him, and God sends him there, and he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, you know, I'm not sure. Who's the prophet talking about? And so we went back to Isaiah where he was reading and read about Jesus being led as a lamb to the slaughter, and how he was treated unjustly and why it was, and all from Isaiah, and as the Ethiopian was reading from. And then, of course, after they'd been going along together, he says to the Philip, he says, hey, there's water here. Can I go be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he goes down and he gets baptized. And oh, the guy's thinking, okay, believer in baptism, you know, it's after you believe, it's evidence, kind of, at times. And I know there's different practices at times, but it was from that case, it was like, you're going to need it. This is about believing and trusting the Lord. And so the guy is sitting there, and we talked about a few things, and I'm thinking, now, how do I do an invitation here, right? I often like to give some kind of a gospel invitation and ask people about trusting the Lord, and this guy is like listening and very positive about knowing he needs the Lord in his life. And so I had a little gospel track there. I said, now, here's a little prayer. If this is something you'd like to pray from your heart, you can go ahead and do that if you want. He said, okay. And he looked at it for a little while, and all of a sudden he starts praying out loud just right there. And he's like, yeah. And he gets up and he goes and gives me a little hug and goes and gives my partner a little hug and said, this is what I needed. I need the Lord to forgive me. And he's been there every time since and is reading his Bible in his cell on a regular basis. Now, admittedly, when guys get out there, they'll get tested more, right? But that doesn't, I think that we had two real conversions there just in the last few months, and that's exciting to me to see things like that happening. And, of course, it's all the way we know all those things. It's through God's Word that reaches out to us. Recently, I heard the results of a 2022 Bible reading survey, and this is by the American Bible Society, and they said this year there was a drop of about 25% in regular Bible readers from the previous year. I thought, oh, that's really bad. And then it was explaining, says, now, as a regular Bible reader, we consider that anyone who reads their Bible outside of church at least four times a year. Four times a year? It's like, oh, well, that doesn't sound too regular to me. Now, I might class that, you know, four times a week maybe. Okay, yeah, you have some struggles that don't make every day. But, you know, four times a year, that's kind of pushing it. But it's kind of sad in our society. There is lots of Bibles available, but a lot of times people don't take them to heart. It's a little below what God's word and what we see the value of it and should be. As Job is talking, he says, neither have I gone, in Job 23:12, he says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of thy mouth, I have esteemed the words of his lips more than my necessary food. He's saying God's word is more important to me than eating. He says it's important. Joshua 1:8 tells us that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God's word is important to our to everything in our lives, to our ultimate success and our relationship with him. In Deuteronomy 17:19, a little bit lesser known passage, but there God gave direct instructions through Moses that when there was a king, what was the king of Israel supposed to do? It says he was supposed to make him a copy of the Bible that was written at that time. And what was the purpose of it? It tells us in there that he was supposed to make himself a writing that he could read in it all the days of his life, that he could observe to do what it said and obey it and follow God. God's word was to be read daily by the king. There's lots of passages that talk about the importance of it, and we'll talk a little bit more about some practical applications with it. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, speaking of, this is just kind of going back with the kings. The king was always supposed to read in that. That was very specific for him. Well, in Revelation, it talks about us as believers. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. As believers, we should be having a practice of being in God's word so it can guide us and lead us and help us to know what we should do, how we should live, the way we should walk. I know sometimes memorizing scripture has gotten criticized by people because they knew somebody that memorized some verses and yet they had a wreck in their life and messed up and didn't do so good. Well, that's like criticizing somebody for having brakes on their vehicle and they got in a wreck. Well, it wasn't the fault that they had brakes, right? They did something else. They didn't use them right. They weren't paying attention. But memorizing God's word is a good thing. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. When you have God's word in your heart and your mind, it can help you. Now, not everybody that memorizes something practices it like they should, but it's a helpful and a good thing to do. In Psalm 19, I'm going to read just a little section here. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. When a person spends time in God's word, it benefits your life. Now, let's go to a little practical application of this. So how do you do it? How do you know what to put in your heart? Well, of course, all of God's word is good, but sometimes there's very specific applications for different things. Let's suppose a person is struggling in their life and they're worrying a lot. They're having lots of worries and lots of struggles and lots of worries, and they're always worrying about things. Do you know what? There's verses in there. Maybe a person would go to one that says something as simple as Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And if you take that and you're going to say, I'm going to memorize that and think about that. When I'm tempted to worry, I'm going to trust instead. Know that God can take care of things. Sometimes it has huge application for being able to witness good, right? If you know certain verses they can be very helpful in sharing with people. When you witness to people, what kind of answers do you get nowadays? There's always a certain amount, it seems like, that's sprung up around. A couple of beliefs that have gotten popular. One is, well, people sometimes think that when you die, it's done, it's all over, no more. They think when you're dead, you're dead. Just go on the ground and your body rots, right? People think that. But if you know Hebrews 9:27, where it says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, you can answer that question. You can say, you know, that's not what God says about it. God says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And that's actually that same verse, right, has very good application for meeting other people. That says, oh, I believe that when you're dead, you come back as something else, and you'll come back around again as something else. So, you know, that's not exactly what God says about that. God says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Knowing certain verses can help you be a much stronger witness for the Lord when you know ones that apply. Of course, there's ones that apply to lots of different things. In virtually every area of life, there's verses that apply to it. God's Word is a great manual for life. In fact, that's why did He give us His whole Word? Well, it's so we should know what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and how to live for Him, and how to obey and do what He says. Sometimes people will like to deny the Bible or act like it is not important or act like it's has, you know, they want to believe something else. And a good answer with something like that is including, like, this is a super common belief, right? Oh, there's many ways to God. I've got a way, and you got a way, and there's many ways to God. Said, you know, Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's in heaven. Jesus is saying very clearly, there's no way to get to heaven except through me. Oh, they might not agree with that, and it sounds too narrow. But I have if you think about it, you want to stand before God on Judgment Day, having called Him a liar, saying what you said is no good, I don't believe what you said, you're a liar. Said, you might want to face God that way, but that's not the category I want to be in. I don't want to be calling God the judge of all the earth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And having said that what He said isn't so, that's a bad idea. A real bad idea. God's Word has the answers for everything. It helps you in many different things. It helps people that want to trust other things. When you spend time in it and read it and learn from it, it'll be helpful. Now, of course, today, right, we don't just have a physical book, right? There's other ways to learn God's Word. You can listen to it in a lot of different ways. Now, I know this dates me significantly, and I was on the tail end of 8-tracks. But when I was in high school, I got the Bible reading being read on 8-tracks. And in those days, it was a huge help in my life. And I'd come in, and I was heavily involved in hockey, and I'd be playing, and you'd come home puffing and puffing. And you didn't just crash when you went to sleep, right? The intensity level, and probably a little adrenaline still going in you. I'd plug in an 8-track, and there a guy was sitting reading this scripture on there for me and reading away, and I'd be in and out. Well, then, you know what would happen? It seemed like the next day in school, I'd be hearing something, and it might have been, somebody with some odd philosophy, and I'd think, that doesn't agree with what I heard last night. God said, and that was able to help me do spiritual battle and keep my head on straight. I was getting taught some lies, but God's Word was there, and you can get it in lots of different ways. Of course, now you can get it electronically. You can have, if you want to memorize a verse, you used to have to kind of write it on a card, right? Well, now you can probably look it up and put it on your phone and have it play over and over and over. And is it hard to memorize? You know, the older you get, it tends to get harder, but it's not that hard to memorize if you really want to and put something to it. You just take it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and think about it and repeat it. A person can learn lots of verses. I don't know how many you know or how many you can think about during the day or how many can encourage you if you're discouraged or help you if you're being tempted. In just about any area of life, there's verses that address it. If you're struggling with something or different attitudes or whatever things that aren't right, God's Word has the answer for it. God's Word has the answer for marriage issues, for business issues, for any kind of problem that's coming up. God's Word has the answers for it. It's full of them. And you learn the verses that apply, and they will help you. They will help you in your everyday life. Of course, it starts off with showing us the way for eternity, and it goes through for the way for all of life. And when you follow God's Word, you know what it says? As we were reading in Psalm 19, I'd like to read that just a little again as we wrap it up, but in Psalm 19, speaking of God's Word, and it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Do you know, it's hard to keep something you don't know. Take time and read God's Word. Any area of life you're going through, there's verses that apply and that say, wow, God knows what he's doing in everything. And make a habit of it. Don't be like the regular Bible readers 4 times a year. I think that's kind of a starvation ration there. It seems like it ought to be, God's Word should have a regular part in our lives. Thinking about it, learning it, and using it, and living it. It says, what does it say? In keeping of them, there is great reward. When you will keep what God says, you benefit. When you dishonor what God says, you suffer. The consequences might not come instant, but they certainly will come. Because God knows what he's saying. And you can't tell the owner's manual to take a hike when you're not the one that designed it. If you do that with your owner's manual, it's not going to go good for you. But if you say, you know what, God, you know what's going on. I'm going to trust you. First for forgiveness and cleansing and salvation, and then saying, God, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust that you know what you're telling me, and he does, and you will have no regrets from that. Well, we just bow our heads together and right there in your heart, if you know you need your sin forgiven and to be right with God, trust him now. Say, Lord, I need you to forgive and to cleanse me. And if you know the Lord and have been neglecting his word or not putting it in your heart as you should, why don't you ask him to help you and have a plan to increase or improve or to start spending more time in his word. Lord, I pray that we would be people of real faith that honor you, that really trust your word. Help us to be like Job, who considered your word worth more than his necessary food. Help us to be people that really read it and obey it and take it to heart. Thank you for it and for the great guidance it is and what a treasure we have. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
And just a reminder that Pastor Eastman has some Bible reading plans out in the foyer area. If you haven't taken one yet, they're there. And Gail and I are going through the chronological one, but there's three or four different ones out there. Just grab a sheet if you haven't already. And Gail and I are judges right now. So, but it is a blessing. So our closing hymn, we have a story to tell to the nation.